Hello and welcome to You Just Got Homeschooled. This is RJ, and today I want to talk about things that have changed in the world, but more importantly, specific opportunities that now exist that didn't exist a few years ago, and especially in the realm of continuing education or higher education, not necessarily higher in the sense of like college per se, but kind of the variety of options you now have that you didn't have before, right? Or that your kids have that they didn't have before. And I want to make you aware of a few of them, a few types of things, so that even if your kids are late elementary school, early, you know, junior high or high school, they can begin to either work towards or even begin to learn some of the stuff that they may want to carry into a career after, you know, formal education is done. And so I want to share some of those things with you. The ones that I know about, and there are probably way, actually I know there's way more than I know about. There's probably thousands of opportunities like this. And really what it takes is a little bit of time Googling things to figure it out. But I want to tell you about one in particular to start with, and then I'll kind of bounce to a few others. So I have a friend, and he relatively recently in the last like year graduated from a school called Lambda, so Lambda School. And basically what it is a, if your kid is interested in computer stuff, IT, especially coding, Lambda is great because basically what it is it's a school that it's an intensive program. I think it's 9 months. You don't pay anything for it. You go through the course or you go through the school and you are certified by the time you're done as a coder. And then what they do is they place you or help you find a job in your field, right? Coding, basically. And they then, since you didn't pay for the school, you pay for it after you have a job. And I'm trying to remember the exact numbers. And it's either, if I remember correctly, 10% of your paycheck for 24 months or a certain dollar amount. I forgot exactly what it was, maybe 24,000. Go look it up. It may have changed too. I know that, but basically 24,000. So whichever comes first. So this is great. Like if your kid is interested in coding and they maybe even have some skills already, this is an intensive program. It's done in less than a year. You're pretty much guaranteed a job because they help place you and they don't get paid unless you're working, basically. And they take a percentage. And like I said, I have a friend who's doing it. He started out started out at a small company, making pretty decent money. He's a single guy, so he didn't need a lot, but he's making pretty decent money, making his 10% payments. And then he's been out for less than a year, I want to say maybe 6-8 months. And he was offered a job by a much larger firm, and his salary is 6 digits. Year of school, less than a year of school, about 6 months in a lower level job, and then offered a 6-digit salary at a company on the other side of the country. So just think about that. And that's if you want to go like the standard get a job route. And there's also other opportunities. If you know coding, you can pick up work all over the place. And, you know, but that's just a great, I mean, think about that didn't even exist 20 years ago. Right, but now you can do an intensive program that's basically for free. It's a full-time job while you're doing it. 9 months, you're out. They place you. You can get a job, and you pay them after you're done. Right, after you're done with school. So if your kid's interested in coding, look at Lambda. L-A-M-B-D-A, I believe. And it's coding. There's a whole bunch of other opportunities as well. There's all sorts of professional certifications that can be helpful. And it's funny because my first experience with some of these were actually in like the continuing education little pamphlets that come out from the junior colleges, the community colleges. I saw those kind of growing up a little bit because they mail them to your house around here. But then my wife actually ended up taking one to get basic QuickBooks stuff. But now there's entire systems. If you are, you know, your kid's into accounting or wants to kind of, you know, look at that field, there's all sorts of training and certifications you can get for that. There's training and certifications for all sorts of programs, all sorts of fields of study, right? It can be anything from coding stuff to management certifications to certifications in certain certain resources. I'm trying to even, like, there's just so many. I know I've seen some for management, both HR management and then like project management stuff. One of the places I found some of that stuff is called Stack Social. You Google Stack Social and it'll pop up and it has a whole bunch of stuff and they offer like courses or groupings of courses that you can get together for a reduced price that will either provide you the certification or set you up to take whatever test is required for the certification. It could be stuff like certification in certain platforms or to do certain things, even like home inspection or learning AutoCAD, which is like a computer-aided design. That's what CAD is, computer-aided design. So that's like people who either do like property plot planning or design systems or blueprints or design stuff for CNC mills or routers and, you know, additive manufacturing, all that kind of stuff. And the list goes on and on and on. And then there's also other things like regular higher education opportunities. One of the ones I like the best as far as I've seen, I've known a couple people who've gone through it or are still going through it. And it's called Western Governors University. And it's an online school. And it's got a couple of things I think that recommend it, especially for homeschoolers. One, it's self-paced. You don't pay per class. You pay for a six-month term, so to speak, and it's as many classes as you can complete in that six-month term. And from what I understand, it's not about the time you spend doing it. It's about demonstrating mastery. So that means that if you already know something, but you don't have the paper to prove it, if you can go, quote-unquote, take that class, pay for the term, take the class, and go through the process, you know, and demonstrate mastery and get the units for it or the credits for it. And then do that for all the classes you need. So in theory, right, a six-month term, it's not that expensive per 6 months. You might be able to get double what you would in a normal classroom, right? Because, and it's much cheaper. I want to say it's a few grand per six-month term as opposed to like in California here, our UC and our Cal States are looking at tens of thousands. Once you add in room and board and stuff like that. And because it's at your own pace and it's, you know, you can stack your schedule however you want to. They do have limited degree fields. So, you know, you want to go look to see whether or not they offer your degree or the degree that you're looking in. But they're your standard, you know, education, business, you know, medicine, stuff like that. So go take a look there. That's a great resource. And because it's cheaper, they offer teaching credentials if your kid's interested in being a teacher in some way, shape, or form, and master's in business administration, MBAs, things like that. Or just to get a general, you know, get some sort of undergrad degree, piece of paper that certifies that you're you have a degree, that might be a great tool for you. Now there's also other colleges that I think are really interesting. One of them I recently heard about is called Monticello College. And I've heard of a couple of these. That's the only one I remember the name of off the top of my head. But they're smaller schools that instead of taking education as being, let's make you a specialist in something, they're actually working on making better citizens, for lack of a better way of describing it. So from where I learned about Monticello College is I was watching a YouTube video, and one of the guys, I think the name of the YouTube channel is Smart and Basic, and he and his partner have been doing for a little while kind of like projects that you... I'm a history person, so they kind of fit into history. Things like harvesting wild oats and turning them into flour. Stuff like that. Or taking iron ore and turning it into iron. You know, just weird, all sorts of stuff like that. I think they made a trip to Hadrian's Wall in Britain to, you know, that's where they made the wall to separate the northern Scottish peoples from the southern Roman-controlled territory. And they talked about the history and what's going on there and those kind of things. So check out their channel. I think it's great. But one of the guys there was offered a job teaching at the school of Monticello. And the school is literally being built by the students, meaning that education is being taken holistically. It's almost like an apprenticeship that includes what you would consider higher education. So from what I understand, when the weather's good, they have class outside and they have small class sizes. I think he said that they're only accepting 15 students this year. And the students, because the facilities aren't built yet, are physically building. I think they're using rammed earth. If you don't know what that is, Google that, rammed earth building, to construct the campus. And they learn stuff like, you know, the how to work with your hands in certain ways, you know, like carpentry, basic carpentry skills and rammed earth building and all this other stuff that goes far beyond the learning of a technical skill. And to be honest, I think that's just a different way of understanding education. Our society has become one of specialization. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It has allowed for a lot of things that may not have ever existed if it had not been. I mean, I want you to just imagine back to a couple hundred years ago. I was reading something a couple days ago, and they were talking about medieval Europe and how they didn't mention this part, but this is something I know from my own experience or my own reading, right? Up until a couple hundred years ago, right before the agricultural revolution, which was like the late 1600s, early 1700s roughly, is really kind of when it kicked into full gear. The vast majority of the population of the planet was actively engaged in agriculture, meaning that their day, every day, was spent taking care of animals, growing food, harvesting, processing, making, right? That's their thing. A very small number of people could specialize in something else. It takes a lot of farmers to produce enough extra food without the addition of equipment, right? Since we have equipment now and they didn't then. To make enough extra food to not only feed, you know, the aristocracy, but also to feed the artisans the aristocracy pay for, right? The blacksmiths, the coppersmiths, the cobblers, all those kind of things, all those specialty jobs require there to be enough food. In fact, if you ever read The Wealth of Nations, which is one of the early books on economics, he kind of boils down everything that you purchase is really what you're doing is you're buying all the food it takes for all the people in, for every piece of what you bought to feed them and to keep them, like feed them and to house them and to keep them relatively well. That's kind of the mindset that he has. And I think there's something to that. And you can see how cheap food has become in reference, because if you think back a couple hundred years ago, right, you had to go harvest the wheat. Think of the Little Red Hen, right? Plant the wheat, harvest the wheat, thresh the wheat, separate the wheat from the chaff, grind the wheat, bake the wheat into bread. And that's a ton of labor. And now you can go buy a loaf of bread for $1.15, depending on where you buy it, even less than that. And so the mindset of, or that has allowed, that kind of background has allowed for a lot of specialization, which is really helpful because it allows people to dedicate their lives to a particular cause, right? I can learn to code, and I can learn to code, and that coding then allows me to automate something that was not automatable before, which then allows me to use less human labor to do something than used to be done, which then allows more people to be freed up. Now, depending on how you see it, freed up from that, from having to do that job to now do something else. More human energy. And that's a great thing because it allows for doctors to specialize. It allows for technology to grow. It allows for greater security in food and water and all these other systems. It allows for it to be easier for you to listen to me because you're on a phone that has hundreds of little systems that are all being utilized, right? To, and by systems, I mean like chains of production to produce all the materials, to produce all the technology, to allow you to listen to my voice. And that's great. But there's another school of thought when it comes to education, and I think it's actually an older school of thought, which is that the purpose of education is not to create someone who's specialized, right? The purpose is not to create someone who can do this one thing. The purpose of education, at least through what we would call like mandatory education years up through 12th grade-ish, maybe even college, is not to create someone who can go and engineer something perfectly. The goal of education is to create a well-rounded person. And schools like Monticello do that. They're not interested in just taking care of or teaching the kid how to do a thing so he can get a job, but teaching the kid or the student how to be the kind of person that knows how to learn, that is confident in their abilities, that can take care of themselves in many different venues, that can draw from a wide range of experiences in order to apply what they've learned in all these areas to something new and create it. In fact, I've seen with my own eyes, my dad has a friend, I've mentioned him early on in my series of podcasts, who can't read. He's old now, I want to say probably in his early 70s. We literally pulled up out of the blue. I don't even think he knew we were in the state. Pulled up out of the blue on a rainy day. He was working in a shop. The guy can't read. He's never been able to read. But he builds things that are absolutely amazing. Welding. In fact, my brother asked him, because he had built something where he like cut a 18-inch section down the middle of a truck. He pulled the engine out, just welded it all back together. My brother asked him, what did you do with the axles? He goes, well, I cut them. He goes, well, and you welded them? He goes, yeah, you don't trust your welds? So this older guy, he has an amazingly creative mind and the ability, because of his confidence in himself, because of what he knows he can do, retrofitting things, taking things from other industries and retrofitting them to what he's trying to do so that he can mess with things in a way that is not intended, that is not dependent upon someone manufacturing the part he needs. He can literally construct the part. And that the school of education that says, I want to create a person rather than basically a fancy cog in a machine, I think is probably a more valuable one. Now, that doesn't mean you'll make a living doing that, but I do think you'll be happier. I think your kids will be happier when there's more confidence. Like, I think it's important for people to learn how to hammer nails. Maybe not so they can hammer nails for a living, but so they know how to hammer a nail. Right? And we've become a society where we call someone to fix everything. You can get someone to come hang your pictures, which I think is a little strange to me, mostly because I don't have the kind of money to have someone come hang my pictures. But also, like, it's a nail or a screw. But I grew up in a house where neither one of my parents were college educated. And so blue-collar things were normal for me, and they still are normal for me. And I've run into this in my own life a couple of times where people who I considered my colleagues in the teaching field were just flabbergasted at some of the stuff I had done on my own because it just didn't occur to them that it could be. Because they grew up in houses and households and experiences that were far more quote-unquote academic rather than hands-on. And so really the purpose of this is to, you know, let you know about Lambda and Western Governors and Monticello and to go look at places like Stack Social for any sort of certification you want, right? Because there's all sorts of careers. You can, and you may not think that you have or that your kid has an interest in, or you may not realize that you can go, your kids can go get some of these certifications now before they're out of high school. That'll set them up for a career in the future that they can add to their resume when they go to apply for jobs or give them the skills they need to start a company themselves, even right out of high school. Because it can be stuff like how to do home inspections or basic certifications for being an electrician or a construction worker or whatever, right? Google it, figure out what the requirements are, begin the process of looking, seeing what kind of certifications, what kind of courses are available, both online and in person. So that they're in a position, come the time that they reach adulthood, that they can have a job that's not always flipping burgers, right? Or if they do want to flip burgers, if they want to go into, you know, that kind of field, that they know what's required. And so go Google it, go look at it, go see what there is out there. In fact, I was having a conversation yesterday and we were talking about designing stuff and he was like, well, does something even exist that you could like scan something and then import it into the computer and then be able to play with it like virtually? I was like, yeah, that exists. He didn't even know it existed. Well, how do I do that? Like, what is that? So I sent him a list, just an article. I literally Googled it, found an article that lists a bunch of different places where you can learn portions of CAD, right? Computer aided design for free. And so now he can go and look and say like, oh, this one looks like it's good for what I need to do. And he can go learn for free, at least the basics, and decide whether or not he wants to go further. And you have that opportunity as a parent to send your kid out there into the world wide web, right? And say, find something that's interesting. Go learn something, right? What might you want to do? Is there any sort of certifications? Is there any sort of classes you can take now that'll help you in the future? Because there's nothing that says that because you're 16, you can't learn X, Y, or Z. That you can't be proficient. I mean, literally, my great-grandmother, I think she was 13 when she had her first kid. She was a mother at 13. I cannot imagine my daughter, who's not 13 yet, but will be in 3 years, being a mother. And yet, we now tell children that they are children until they're, what, 25? Depending on who you are. If we're trying to raise up adults, maybe they should have the opportunity, right? Start thinking. And it doesn't have to be a forever thing, right? It doesn't have to be a forever career. It doesn't have to be something that you do, but it's something they could do now that when they get out of, they do Lambda, right? They learn to code. They may decide, you know, after 3 years of coding, they don't ever want to touch coding again. But they have a skill now that they can always fall back on. Right? They can choose to take a course and get a certification in such and such or that or accounting or whatever, right? And move forward with that and have a skill that then they can draw on. Because I think a lot of the creativity that we see in the world does not come from people who have studied and studied and studied in one field. It often comes from people who have started in one field and moved over to another because they're able to draw on differing experiences. Right? Not the same one. Just like they say, the best way to learn a language is go live there and be forced to use it day in, day out. Right? Because there's a context that's different. You want your kids to be able to do things, give them opportunities to try a whole bunch of different things. So I hope you enjoyed this. Please like, subscribe, hit the buttons, do the things. Leave a review, tell a friend. And if you find stuff, you know, send it to me. I'm hoping life is crazy. End of the semester for me, trying to get everything done. But I'm hoping I can get stuff out there where we can begin a dialogue. You can respond to me and see, you know, I can hear what you want to talk about, what you want to be told about, what you want to learn about, what I need to learn about, whether you agree or disagree with me, those type of things. And that then I can provide you with what you're looking for. And that could be something like if you find great resources, let me know, because I want you and I want homeschool kids to feel like the world is far more open to them because they're homeschooled than if they were in public school, because it is. So, yeah, like I said, please like, subscribe, hit the buttons, do the things. Follow us on Instagram, Homeschooled Podcast, and check out our website, youjustgothomeschooled.com. Thanks and have a great day.